look at your questions, or what am I doing
Blog
there?
Talk Radio.
Hold on. How's it going? Welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Passion Entrepreneur. It's a Monday at 12 o'clock, and we got a show to do. On the call, we're going to have Karen Rands of Launch Funding Network, the Association for Business Angel and Investors, and Kugrand Holdings, and we're going to talk about scam investments. Before we do that, let me ask a question. Anybody know what E3C stands for? E3C stands for Entrepreneurship, Empowerment, and Evolution. And the C stands for Connect, Collaborate, and Create. You listen to The Passion Entrepreneur. We're going to talk about scam investments. Scam investments. Everybody needs to know about that stuff. And so what we do on this show, which is so very, very important, is we show you, we empower you with knowledge and information. We show you how to maximize your profits and business opportunities. We teach you the best practices for profitability and share with you new ideas and strategies to take your business to the next level. So listen, learn, enjoy, and share. Today we're speaking with Karen Rands, Kugrand Holdings, Launch Funding Network, the National Business Association for Angels and Investors. Karen, welcome back.
Hey, Ken, how are you today?
Now, you've been here so much that we're going to have to get you your own show.
Well, we might just be doing that pretty soon, right, with my Spec Talk Radio?
Absolutely, absolutely. Why don't you introduce, why don't you share with the group, the listeners, your websites? Because you got a few of them, but let's, so people can maybe chime in and check out your websites while we're having this conversation.
Okay, well, the parent company that sort of mans the ship for all that we do is Kugrand Holdings, and it sounds like money because it's all about the money. It's not actually the South African coin. It just sounds like that, but it's K-U-G-A-R-A-N, as in Nancy, D as a dog, holdings.com. And then the company that provides the consulting services to help companies connect with capital, whether it's angel investments or venture capital or working capital loans, purchase order financing, and the necessary resources and services they need to get their business really launched and growing strong, is Launch Funding Network, and the website for that is launchfn.com. And then it's the Network of Business Angels and Investors. It is a national organization of angel investors where the core group meets in Atlanta about every 6 weeks to review companies and consider for investment. And the website for that is nbai.net for Network Business Angel Investor.net. And then, of course, we have a couple of ebooks that we've made available to entrepreneurs and investors, and that's at the kyrmedia.com site. And we have two blogs that we're running, one for investors, which is My Virtual Angel World, myvirtualangelworld.com. And then the one for entrepreneurs is entrepreneurblogspace.com, entrepreneurblogspace.com. And we have a podcast site, which is kugrand.podomatic, kugrand.podomatic.com. But the biggest and most exciting thing, which I guess we'll start when I start the Spec Talk Radio on Fridays at noon, is the Southeast Private Equity Conference that will be on April 29th. And that's for all those companies that are seeking capital, early stage companies seeking angel investment or early stage VC money, and all those investors that are wanting to get lots of deal flow. and those companies that serve both communities are all come together for one full-day conference of education, trade expo, and deal flow meetings. And the website for that is SE, as in Southeast, privateequity.org.
All right, so you're bridging the capital divide between entrepreneurs and angel investors.
That's correct.
All right, so today, thank you, listeners, for listening in on this topic. We're talking about investment scams. Karen, thanks for coming on and fighting through the cold that you have. You mentioned that you're a little hoarse, but we're going to get through this together.
Absolutely.
So we're talking about investment scams, one of the most tragic things that maybe sometimes you hear about, maybe oftentimes you don't. When these young companies, they hold these strong beliefs that they got their own potential, they desperately want investors, you know, to catch that vision and join them on this entrepreneurial ride that they're going to create a company, a million-dollar company, a billion-dollar company. But sometimes businesses, these entrepreneurs, old entrepreneurs and young entrepreneurs get sucked into the web of deceit by, I call them scam investors, maybe scam investors too, a decoy investor. So we're going to talk about that. Specifically, what are the warning signs? How can you spot a scam artist posing as an investor? And what can you do to protect yourself and your business? So Karen, lay it on us. What do we need to know? What's the number one warning sign? As a matter of fact, before we talk about that, why did you did a blog entry on warning signs for decoy investors. Why was it? Why did you do that? Why did you decide to do that and write on
that topic? I'm glad you led off with that, Ken, because what had happened, you know, I see these things all the time, and some people will call me and they'll ask me about it as entrepreneurs, and they're fairly predictable, the different, I guess, warning signs. And so it just happened to be within about a 24-hour period, I had two things that came across my radar screen where one is a current client that had gotten sucked into a situation, and one was a sort of a friend/client, somebody I'm just talking to, was all excited about a certain potential investor. And I started asking him some questions, and it became pretty apparent that he needed to go and, you know, maybe it's real, but there was a lot of signs that it probably wasn't real. So excuse me a second.
Oh, man, I hope you feel better. I'm glad you're on the call here and educating our listeners about this stuff.
So we had so I thought when I came back that next morning, I said, you know what, I need to just put this down and make it available to the world as information that could be that people could use to, you know, maybe avoid some of these things that happen to investors, to companies, early companies, when they're trying to get that investor money. And they're, you know, one of the things that's easiest to sell for these scammers is hope. So a lot of times companies will buy into the hope of getting an investor win. I mean, the person is not really an investor at all.
Well, are you going to be okay, Karen? Need a drink of water or something?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing that right now.
Okay. Don't die on us before the end of the show.
Don't worry, this is really good. Okay. I had that little tickle in my throat, and I was in the middle of talking. So anyway, I'm better now.
All right, I'm glad. She's dying. Ken's killing her on this show.
Yeah.
So you talked about, so there obviously is a need. What's the first warning sign?
Well, the first warning sign is when, and this whole article is available if you anybody wants to go read the entire thing. It's on the entrepreneurblogspace.com. You can go read the entire posting on that. And if you've had, I encourage anybody that may have experienced it's similar or other types of scam investors or decoy investors to, you know, put a comment on there and share your experiences, because, you know, the best way for all companies to, you know, improve the efficiency of the process of attracting investors is to share some information about how to avoid those pitfalls. So the first warning sign of a decoy investor is when an investor expresses a lot of interest, seems really enthusiastic, gets all the documents and talks about all their friends that they think were going to want to invest and turn around, and then turns around and asks for a retainer or some kind of fee to cover their time for talking with these investors. No real investor or venture capital firm asks for money from the company they are intending to invest in, because it's sort of counterintuitive if you think about it. If somebody's about to invest in a company and put $50,000 in, why would they ask for $1,000? That doesn't make any sense, you know? So that's the first thing. And the other thing would be if they ask for some kind of, referral fee for just connecting them with those investors, because if they're investing, then they should be encouraging their friends to invest, because it makes their investment more sound. You know, now if they take on an advisory role or they take on some strategic consulting role, they may, you know, it would be worthwhile to pay them additional shares for their time. And sometimes you should have your advisors seeking out investors for you, and in exchange they can get shares for that, you know, once they're successful. But somebody that's put some money in, you know, because otherwise they're kind of like the right hand's paying the left hand, and that doesn't really seem to compute.
So normal practice, best practices or normal practice, you don't have people coming up to you and say, you pay me some money and I'll introduce you to the people I know.
Well, not if they're an investor. Now, finders and brokers, you know, they do that, but they don't be a wolf in sheep's clothing. If they're a finder or a broker that's what they do, then that's what they do, right? And they don't, you know, then, and you know that. And you don't get, you know, they should very early on in the process disclose, you know, hey, look, you know, I know a lot of investors. I'm not in a position to invest, but I can go connect you up with those investors, and this is what's going to cost. And then you can decide if you want to do that or not. But that's, you know, not something where they act like they're an investor and gain your trust and then turn around and do that.
So how do you guard yourself against, is there any way to get some due diligence? Is there any websites out there? Or how do you find out whether these people are scam artists or legitimate people?
Well, I mean, the thing, when we have our events and investors come to it, you know, one of the things I always ask them, because they can say they're an investor when they're really not, you know, but I kind of ask them so what kind of deals do you look for? Or when are you thinking about making an investment? How soon, you know, will you have liquidity to make an investment? Or what's your criteria for an investment? You know, those are the kind of questions you can ask somebody. And if they are a real investor, they're going to say, oh, I'm waiting for a certain stock to hit a number, or I'm looking at deals because I know I'm going to be selling this piece of real estate pretty soon, or I'm getting my quarterly bonus, or, you know, and they'll have things, or, you know, or even if they say, I'm tied up right now, I'm not making another investment until, you know, a month from now, that's still okay. You want to stay in touch with that person. But it's an affirmative that they are actively in the business of investing. Investors don't always have cash burn in a hole in their pocket to invest. They're looking at deals and developing relationships so that they know which, when they have the cash in their pocket, which one they want to invest in. You know, that's all kind of normal part of it. But
so what you do, I guess one of the benefits, advantages of working with you is that you can serve as a screening process to guard and protect these entrepreneurs seeking angel investments.
Sure, because we have a program that we call Executive Checks. So we'll get folks that come to us and say, well, you know, I want to, you know, take a strategic role in a company, and do you know any early stage companies that are looking for strategic people? And I'll say, so how I ask that, and sort of to be in the proper discreet manner, is I say, so are you looking to invest in a company and also take a strategic role where you'll get paid in for the shares you purchase as well as shares for your time? Or are you looking for a position that will pay you can pay you in shares initially, or just a full-time paying job?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they'll come back, and instead of just being blunt, like, well, are you going to invest? You know, I'll position it that way. So, you know, sometimes they'll say, well, you know, I've got a little money to invest, but I want to make sure it's the right deal and I can, you know, I can go for a little bit of time, but I need to know that they're going to have the ability to pay me sometime in the near future. And that's a fair thing, and you find the company that sort of maps to that. And then part of it is I go to, well, if you're going to participate in the company, then I guess you have a Rolodex that you'll be able to, you know, from your prior experiences, to be able to open up and help this company continue to raise money through your connections, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let me, I guess I want to ask another question before we get to the second warning sign. Is there something that the investor, I'm sorry, not the investor, but the entrepreneur can request from the angel investor? Like, okay, so what deals have you done? Or do you have a profile or how could, do they Google their name or something? Is it something that the entrepreneur can do, or is that something that you could do to guard against and protect these guys?
Everybody that comes to our organization, to our events, they fill out an investor profile, and it's just, they indicate the kinds of investments they made and so the total volume of investments that they have in different categories of assets. But you can't really, you know, an investor, when an investor gets ready to invest, but you're already down the road, then you know they're a real investor. Then they have to fill out an accredited investor, I guess it's like a certification document or a validation. I forget the exact title of it, but there's a standard document that goes with all investor documents when a company's raising money that an investor fills out, an investor profile. I'm not sure exactly what they call it. Anyway, they fill out to validate that they're an accredited investor. But at that point, if somebody gets to that point, they've already gone past, you know, the issue of whether they're a decoy or not, because they're not going to be filling out, they fill out one of those when they get ready to write the check, and that is primarily to protect the company so that the company, it's clear that the company has all accredited investors or has documented which ones aren't or are not, you know, for audit purposes.
Okay.
You know, so that's separate. Other than that, there are organizations, there's an organization that actually meets in Atlanta, or actually all over the world, but they meet in Atlanta quite often, that goes by different names, that has, and they're, the main guy behind it, his name is, he goes by Anthony David, David Anthony, Anthony Tobin, David Tobin. He's got various different names, and usually it's some form of world or international or venture or something. And if you go to, now I'm not going to be able to remember the website, but there's a website that lists, but anyway, when you search on these guys, they come up on these other websites where these different people have been, scammers have been documented by other investors, you know. So this guy sends out an email saying you've been invited, and he's, you know, and it's usually held at the Ritz-Carlton or at you know, some fancy hotel, the Holiday Inn, and they're going to be having meetings, you know, 10 companies during the day, and, you know, they have all this stuff, and they've taken hundreds of thousands of dollars from clients around Atlanta and other areas to do due diligence on them, you know.
That's tragic. Well, you talked about number one warning sign is when they ask for a retainer. The second one, what is that? It was when decoy investors run a fund, promises to put some money in, or how's that? That's the second warning sign, isn't it?
Yeah, these are decoy investment funds, and that's where, and this is where, this is one that prompted it. This guy had come to me asking about this, and they were going to put in $5 million. They were going to put in $15 million if he could go and raise $5 million. And other times you'll see it where they'll put in $3 million if you can raise $300,000. So it's a fund that's usually an offshore fund that's going to put in some amount of money that's going to be held in, you know, and you go get your $300,000 for your $3 million or your $30 million or something like that, and they're going to hold that money in escrow so that as soon as you clear, your money clears the bank in 90 days, you pay those investors back with a premium of 40% on top of it.
Is this something I think maybe on TV or in the newspapers we've seen, this kind of scam?
Maybe. I don't know. I've had it come across my desk, and I haven't really ever been able to validate that it's not legitimate. It's just that everything that I've asked them, I go, well, give me a reference of somebody else that has done this with you. or, you know, let me know about who the fund is. I'll sign a non-circumvent, so I'm not going to go to them. I just need to validate it before I go off and, you know, ask my, you know, tell my folks that this is a real opportunity. You know, let me talk to the bank that you're going to put the money in escrow. You know, any of those kind of things. And, you know, they never can produce any of that stuff. And when you get the documents are, you know, long and have, you know, it's like 10 or 15 pages of contract stuff with a lot of repetition. And it, and buried in there is these language that says something like, you know, it's not guaranteed because they have to do due diligence after you get the money. And so basically they then say that, you know, you basically will forfeit that money if you don't pass due diligence. Or this other thing that they'll do buried in there is they'll have language that sort of says they get first right of refusal on all other monies that you try to go out and get. So basically they end up stalling your $30 million. You can't touch the $300,000, so you have to go out and get other money. And when you can't go out and get other money, they take over your company.
This is real interesting. We're talking with Karen Rands of Cougarrand Holdings. We're talking about scam investors, what are the warning signs, how to guard yourself and your company, your business from this. So
yeah.
What's number three?
Well, the third one is when, you know, a decoy investor wants to talk or meet with your other investors so they can get comfortable. Now, this isn't really a bad thing because it's normal. And it's also, you know, in some ways encouraged for one group of investors to talk to, particularly if you have investors that came in really early on that had a strong belief. So it should be a validation and help you get the rest of the funding or have these guys feel very comfortable. So it's perfectly all right to have your investors talk to each other. Where it becomes a problem is when that decoy investor then tries to do a side deal with your investor. But then, you know, under sort of this auspices of having common interest or being a big roller, but then also ask that investor to keep it confidential from you, the company that they invested in, you know, because they don't want them to be concerned about, you know, your ability to invest, or let's just keep it, this is such a hot deal, let's just keep it between us, or, you know, that kind of stuff, okay?
Wow. Okay.
Because once an investor is an investor, it's, you know, no relationships with other investors should impact, you know, your ability to raise funds from those investors and should not damage the relationship with the existing investor. Because in this particular case, the one that came to me, the decoy investor had started talking to the prior investors and, you know, had this side deal and did this whole confidentiality, but then he would continue to kind of play the other and got the actual investor to give him some money as part of like a due diligence fee.
Oh man. Okay.
Okay, and not tell the other guy and he was in effect keeping them apart very coyly because the company was not talking to the other investor about it because, you know, he was expecting this guy to invest and he kept dragging it on and dragging it on and dragging it on and he wasn't investing until it was like a month into it. And the actual investor, the prior investor, asked the company, well, you know, so how's everything going? And just sort of off, he goes, oh, well, you know, I'm still waiting to close on the money from so-and-so. Really? Well, I thought he had already invested, you know, I'm doing a deal with him. And, you know, that was when it all kind of came out, and it was, you know, too late then, right? So, you know, a warning sign is when, you know, if anybody says, now this is between us, like the decoy investor's like, okay, you know, I'm working on this, you know, just keep it between us, you know, we're going to get this thing together, you know, don't tell anybody how much I'm getting ready to, don't tell your other investors about, you know, how much I'm getting ready to invest in you, you know, that kind of stuff.
Okay, well, what's the fourth one? There's a fourth decoy?
Yeah, the fourth one is, this is kind of relates back to that one I told you about, the Anthony David Anthony scenario guys, is that they're an offshore investor that books a hotel room or they book they sometimes they'll have the concierge level and they conduct the meetings or the meetings are in the lobby And they have a series of these companies that are going to be selected, and they don't really have any traceable history on the web or a website or offices that can be verified. They've got lots of, you know, paperwork. And they do, this particular group is really crazy because they do everything not electronically. So they don't want you to do electronic documents and send them to you. They want you to fill it out in paper there and fill out your application and hand it to them. They don't want it because they don't want a record of it, that you sent the stuff to them, right? And then they collect fees for doing their due diligence. Okay, now, some funds or some organizations, investment banking firms, may have due diligence fees, but the thing that you have to understand is that the due diligence fee is based on real work. Okay, they schedule trips to your facility, they ask for a series of documents, it's not paid in advance, maybe there might be something paid, you know, a small amount paid in advance, you know, but like as a down payment on it, but they ask for financials, they spend time, they analyze your intellectual property, and they prepare a binder and a report for you because there are, you know, valuation firms that do that kind of stuff for the due diligence piece, and there are firms that do that, but they have, you end up with a big book that has all your information on, you know, on what's, you know, what's your due diligence binder, so that you can, and you can use it with lots of investors. So
yeah,
some
so
company
you have,
that,
deliverable.
I'm sorry?
So you have a deliverable.
Exactly.
Tangible in your hand. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, and then they go on to say, you know, so they're going to have this due diligence fee, and you've got to pay this before you can get in front of their investors. You know, the investors should be paying because, again, funds like venture capital funds or, you know, big bank funds or, you know, when I look at some of the investment banking firms that I work with here in Atlanta, they have staff that does due diligence. And so they don't require a fee for that. And they do it for their own internal purposes. Okay. The other thing that you have is a sort of a, in that same sort of scenario, is when they're going to have their closing, and they tell you, now you're going to, our closing is going to be in the Philippines, or it's going to be in the Brussels, or some faraway place, and you're on your own to fly there, and so they're going to, you know, it doesn't really make any sense, you know. The investors will, you know, you probably will likely want to meet with the investors, but the investors will pay for you to come there. If they get ready to put a million or a couple million dollars into your company, they pay for you to come there, or they fly to come to you so they can see your facility, you know, more than just the person itself. Or, they may do a video conference, you know, and then they make arrangements to wire the money. But, you know, it's, you know, you just need to, you know, they may ask for, you know, reimbursement for travel, but it comes out of the closing documents or something like that, the closing things. You know what I mean? It just, you just have to be really, really cognizant of when there's other fees that are asked for, or when, you know, people are, because can, you know, use some logic and common sense that if somebody's paying money and putting money into your company, why would they have these other fees? You know, now, in some cases, if they're doing, it's all about it because there are consulting groups. I mean, we charge fees, but we do, you know, work. We coach companies on clients. We help them prepare their documents, you know, and it's not tied to, it's not part of a predicate to an investor, an investment.
You're providing
just,
a service.
Yeah, you're just helping the company improve their positioning and their you know, their how they're going to look or how they're going to be perceived by the investors. And it's something that they're better off with, whether they come through our investors or go off and do other investors. We have lots of companies that maybe raise money through us, but then as a result of what we've done, they're able to raise money in a lot of other places as well.
Okay, we got less than 5 minutes, actually a couple more minutes left. But so why you have these intelligent entrepreneurs going out, they're excited about their idea, and they want to produce this billion-dollar or million-dollar company, why do they fall for this?
Because, like I said, the easiest thing to sell is hope. I mean, it just kills me all the time. One of the reasons why we set our organizations up like they are is because of this. I mean, we get so many companies that have, you know, they'll come to us and we'll tell them, well, this is all the reasons why people aren't going to, because they go through our initial screening process, aren't going to invest. And these are all the things you have to do in order to attract investors. And, you know, and they don't like that. You know, they want to be told that they can get investors, right? So then somebody comes and says, oh, this is great. You know, I can go and introduce you to investors. It's only going to cost you $5,000. And I've got all these investors and I'm really excited and, ooh, and they're all excited, you know, about it, right? And then they go and they pay that company that money and then they maybe or maybe not get the meetings and now they've gone through all their money and they, you know, come back to us and they say, you were right. Can you help me now? You know, it's like.
You are providing a great service and you need to be compensated for that. All right. So, again, watch out for those scam artists posing as angel investors. Do your due diligence. Get Karen to help you out there. Form a strategic partnership with Launch Funding. So choose your strategic partners wisely. By understanding warning signs, you can minimize your business risks, protect your business, and position you for future success. Karen, in summary, what do you want our listeners to take away from this conversation?
Take a step back from any, you know, when you start the courtship with an investor, you know, go not so slow, I mean, not slow, but don't get caught up too early on with the excitement. You know, keep your radar up and have a lawyer that you can go to review documents and contracts or proposals that you get from them. And, you know, bounce it off of somebody else, somebody that, you know, maybe more of an advisor, you know, that if it, and if it, if you're too embarrassed or you're too, you know, you think an advisor is going to think it's, this is, because I've had things like this happen to me. If I think I'm going to have to rationalize it to my advisor to explain why I think this is a good deal, then it's not a good deal, you know? You know, because if it's kind of questionable, you know, and the little voice in the back of your head says, you know, there's something a little odd about this, then chances are there's something a little odd. And it's okay to ask, because if you're somebody that's going to invest in your company, you have to have a trusting relationship. So it's okay to ask for additional information or to talk to trade references or to, in some cases, get a background check on them, you know, and to validate the information because it is your company and you don't want to be sued by other investors because you took in somebody that was wrong or you mismanaged the company operations because you paid money to somebody that you shouldn't have paid money to.
That's another risk. Okay. So if listeners want to reach you, what is the best way? What is the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, pretty much through our website.
Okay. And the websites again? Hopefully she's okay.
Excuse me. Through the Launch FN website is the easiest one to connect to all of us.
Okay.
On the main page there up on the right-hand side is a opt-in box where you put your name and your email in. And it will give you a series of emails on connecting with investors and how do you attract investors. And you'll be in our database, and then if you want to schedule an initial consultation, then you just follow up through that form and register. And then our capital consultant will call you.
All right. So any special offers for listeners? You got an e-book or you got a consultation that you can offer? What is it that you would like to offer listeners?
Well, there's those free investor tips are great. And there's also, if you go to the KYR Media website, there's a free ebook on that website for how to raise money the Wall Street way. And it goes through a lot of the legalese of raising money and with some sample private placement memorandums. It's about a 100-page book. That's a free ebook you can download.
Wow, okay.
And also, you know, I can give you my 800 number. People can call through that as well and leave a message or talk to somebody in our office. That number is 888-569-0464, 888-569-0464. And then the last thing I'd like to do is encourage folks to make sure they go to the Southeast Private Equity website, seprivateequity.org, and apply to participate in that event. And if you're an investor listening to this, then please come to attend. It's going to be awesome. There'll be 60 companies, 100 investors. It's going to be a great event.
You got some really, really VIP people coming to that. I'm really excited for that. I'm looking forward to being there also. So what? That's the show. So what have you learned today? How will you apply what you've learned? Specifically, what action step will you implement to improve your business and increase the profitability? When it comes to angel investing, don't do it alone. Get a friend like Karen. Launch Funding to help you out there. So, again, if you're looking for a second opinion to maximize your business opportunity, you want to learn best practices for profitability, you've come to the right place. Ken, the Passion Entrepreneur, your Chief Profitability Officer. So, again, if you got a question, you got a guest idea, a topic of interest, just contact us through the podcast email. And for E3C, you know that you have access to over 300 profit and sales ideas, 60 courses, quizzes, surveys, forums, you got it. And last year, this is so important, last year we achieved over 500 business-to-business connections. And then this year, about 100 business connections with E3C Connect. We meet every Tuesday morning from 8 to 9, every Tuesday from 8 to 9. So if you're interested with connecting with some other passionate entrepreneurs, just contact me through the podcast page. And also, if you're listening to this program on Blog Talk or you go to my podcast page, please rate me. Put a comment about the show. You can rate me on Technorati, Bigot, Delicious, StumbleUpon, you name it. Go ahead and put it. Because a lot of people access these podcasts and download them, so you can get some additional exposure there. So if you like the podcast, let me know. Share with a friend, business associate. Let them know. If they want to improve their profitability, go ahead and help them out. And don't forget to check out the website, Smart Advantage Coaching and mybusinesscommunity.ning.com and e3c.typepad.com, which is my blog. So with that, dare to be great, be remarkable, be extraordinary, be profitable. And Karen, thank you so very much for being on the show. Really, really appreciated it. And Brian Hunley, let's take it out. Let's put some music on. And have a great week. Stay profitable, and we'll talk to you soon.
Great, thanks.